Marty, you were the first, you know, person that came up, and realizing that, you know, I was trying to be strong. I was trying to allow the time that we needed in separation and all of that. But I think I realized that I needed you in my life. I wanted you in my life. I didn't want any bad energy between us. I didn't want that for Megan or for either of us. And I realized I can do something about that. I can reach out. I can lead with my heart, with love, and yeah, I think that was, it was all like this epiphany, which feels so simple, but that's usually what it is. And I think that was, you know, when I came out of that yoga class meditation, I was like, I knew what I needed to do. And then I reached out to you, and that was really the beginning of us starting to talk again. And you mentioned right away that you had had a similar experience about the same time.
Okay. Wow. Okay. It's going to be really emotional.
There is no loss for being honest.
The real work of life is the work that we do inside ourselves.
The responsibility we feel towards the world, like questioning, challenging, say something.
Raw and vulnerable and open conversation.
That was the best part.
I'm scared of friendship.
Taking a breath.
Just talk.
Shame and guilt, vulnerabilities.
That was about to be
something different. What does it really mean to be friends?
We trust you.
The real work that we do is overcoming our insecurities every day and learning how to love more.
And as examples of the change we want to see in the world.
Just talk.
Taking a breath.
So if we just take a breath.
My face is on fire from the talkers. To have healthier relationships with women, they need healthier relationships with other men.
The real work of life is the work that we do inside ourselves.
So I'm in an open relationship with my husband, and my husband and I sold our house 10 months ago. We have twins that are 4 years old, we travel around the world, and this is my boyfriend.
Hi!
Perfect! Hi.
Hi there. Just a quick interruption here to ask you a question. Do you feel jealous? The answer is probably yes, occasionally. Does that jealousy inhibit you from living the life that you want? Okay, if it's another yes, then my friends, I believe that it doesn't have to be that way. We created a whole online course so that we could take our learnings from our experiences and give that to you so that it can be supportive in you transforming those feelings of jealousy into a really powerful tool for growth. Seriously. So on the course, which is available at a pay what you want level, yep, that's right, you go in there and pay what feels comfortable for you, go figure, that you are able to join us in walking through how your thoughts affect the feelings of jealousy, how your emotional body does, how important it is to heal, and then walking through your fears and insecurities, and finally getting to what it is that you might need or want from a partner or in a relationship, and learn how to communicate that. Once you get that down, my friends, jealousy will become a tool for you. So I invite you to head over to amorypodcast.com or just click the link in our bio from Instagram, and you can go pay what you want, do the course, tell us what you think about it, and then hopefully those crazy feelings of jealousy are not as strong and you get to actually enjoy your relationships a little bit more. Okay, back to the podcast. Welcome back, gentlemen. This is our first time recording in a while in person, and I'm super excited. I might be a little anxious.
A little bit antsy.
I got ants in my pants. No, I'm just really excited because we haven't done this, and I feel like we've done some confessionals. I did mine. Marty, thank you for doing yours. A lot has happened over the last couple months, and I feel like this is our opportunity to do what I love most, which is learn and share. And I feel like we did a lot of learning, and I'm good on the learning right now, and I love this opportunity to share. And I love especially looking into both of your eyes and being able to sit here. So that's where I'm at. How are you, Kyle, starting us out here?
Ooh, yeah. We've had a lot of experiences that I feel like we could never pack into one episode. But yeah, I think I like what Marty said before we started recording, that right now we're in a really good place. So I don't think we should focus too much on all of the hard, sad, really emotional stuff, and we'll talk about it, but we'll kind of get to like what we've learned and what's brought us here, because I think all of us have grown a lot in the last 6 months, call it a year. Because I hadn't seen you, Marty, for a year.
Pretty much.
Almost until, yeah, just a few weeks ago. And we hadn't talked for 6 months, maybe?
About that.
Yeah, and that was, yeah, that was a hard time for me, you know, and I think in many ways, I appreciate you more. I appreciate what you bring to my life. I feel like I see you more, and I feel the value of being seen. I think that's something that I feel like I'm seeing more as well. You know, I'm being seen by you, Marty, and I feel like Megan is seeing me more. So it's almost like we took a break and we're appreciating each other more, which is maybe what breaks are for.
Yeah, I agree. I think, you know, the way I look at it is we were in a pandemic and we were stressed out and growing at significant states. It's like when we say we have new identities, like I've had 10 deaths since last year and new births of new identities, and it's been constant and over and noisy, and it got really noisy for me. And I think the beauty of taking the break the way, not the way we did it, but taking a break from everything was to say, okay, well, for me, it was focus on myself, right? And not like there was this kind of trusting that if our friendship is legit, then it will weather this storm, because I need to go put my oxygen mask on and not worry about anyone else, right? And also not bite my own poison that everybody else is like contriving against me, because I'm not some crazy conspiracy theorist. Right? You know who you are. But yeah, I want to have fun on this podcast. Like I think one of my greatest lessons is I was looking at myself in Costa Rica with everything around me, my partners, my life and everything. And I'm like, oh, I have this like amazing life, right? I'm going to destroy it with fear. Mm. And then it's like, fear is unacceptable. I'm not gonna let that happen. And then we went to LA and really built secure attachment, which mm-hmm. by the way is like an exciting thing. It's possible. Holy shit, like for a long time reading about attachment theory and struggling with it and realizing my partner's avoidant and I'm anxious, and that's a perfect match for a doom loop from hell.
Yeah, that's right? Why we kept triggering each other. I just, before our understanding attachment theory, I didn't know why we kept triggering each other. And it's like,
well,
my avoidant behavior would make you anxious, and then your anxious behavior would make me avoidant. And it just was this like doom loop.
Yeah, doom loop from hell. And I think like part of it was ownership, right? It's when you owned your mm-hmm. side that my side unlocked, and we could say, okay, enough. We both want secure attachment.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awareness and then ownership.
Right. Awareness and ownership. Yeah. And so like that happened, and something beautiful happened for me in April, because we went to where I guess our home is now, because my home is wherever my dad's house is.
Right. We technically have a driver's license from the state of California.
Yeah, we're Californians like, now crazy. Because we are residents there, because legit we live there
right?
Yeah. So we live at my dad's house, right? But I went there, I haven't seen them in a year and a half, and it was the best experience of my family I've ever had. And I was safe, and there was this moment that made me realize we're safe. And then Kyle called me or messaged me and broke the silence in a beautiful way. And I happened to be like processing him right when that happened, which for all you woo-woo people, there's a little gift. Synchronicity, right? But like, I then got to this place to be like really allowed to grieve, because I was safe. Mm-hmm. And I cried spontaneously all the day in random times, right? And it was...
Can you tell the woo-woo story
of you two? Yeah, I was going to say.
Because that one's worth saying.
I'm going to let you tell that story. I want to thank you for that space and, the opportunity to be safe enough to do that. Because now I feel like I'm coming into my 42nd birthday. And up to yesterday, I felt like I was crashing into it like all my other birthdays. And I got some great guidance from a great healer and understanding. And I get to land into my 42nd birthday. So I want this podcast to reflect this, like Kyle said, positive trajectory.
Mm. Yeah. And I think with the positive trajectory, maybe we'll
add some woo-woo.
Yeah. We'll add some woo-woo, and that'll be our infusion instead of being so emotional as we were before. Yeah. So when you all went to California, I went to the other coast of Costa Rica, and it was definitely a period of a lot of stillness and alone time for me, which has kind of been a theme that I think I've had to conquer is, becoming aware of my life, my structure, and what I need. And I think that's a lot of the things that I've been advocating for, which is it's important for me to have my own place. It's nice to have a separation, you know, where I can come in and see the kids, but also have a separation of that, you know, for my own energy and management. But yeah, I was on the other coast. I was traveling by myself and I was meditating. I was doing yoga in like a beautiful jungle environment. And I just started to have this feeling come over me of like a deep connection to everything. I also, at the same time, had this moment where I felt like my heart was closed. And like even my posture, I noticed, was kind of like closed off. And as I started to open my chest up, that was when I started to just cry and release. And Marty, you were the first, you know, person that came up in realizing that, you know, I was trying to be strong. I was trying to allow the time that we needed in separation and all of that. But I think I realized that I needed you in my life. I wanted you in my life. I didn't want any bad energy between us. I didn't want that for Megan or for either of us. And I realized I can do something about that. I can reach out. I can lead with my heart, with love. And yeah, I think that was, it was all like this epiphany, which feels so simple. But that's usually what it is. And I think that was, you know, when I came out of that yoga class meditation, I was like, I knew what I needed to do. And then I reached out to you. And that was really the beginning of us starting to talk again. And you mentioned right away that you had a similar experience about the same time.
No, yeah. It had to be like around the exact same time because,
yeah.
Well, it did, because you messaged me and my experience had just finished.
Yeah.
Which was like, I told you I was a crying mess just moments ago. Like I just grieved spontaneously. But a lot of it would happen. Like I do something. This is also a segue into Amory Body in the future. Like one of the things I do to recover myself, I was also meditating. I had done like a 30-day sprint on Headspace. Also realized that I need to meditate every day for the rest of my life. That's not optional, right? Because it is good for me and everyone around me, right? And I like it. So at the end of the day, I was meditating. And one of the practices I have for recovery is grooming, like pedantic grooming. Like I wasn't quite at self-love. But then there's self-care. And I was like, okay, well, shave. Like, I'm sorry, ladies. Don't bitch about your like, how much it takes to maintain you. Because if you have a fucking beard and you manscape at all, it's just as much fucking work, right? So I'm sitting here and I'm like, all right, I'm going to take care of my beard. You know, brush your teeth slowly. You know, like, trim your nails. Manscape or womenscape or something to escape. Like, and then at the end of the day, I keep saying that, I went to the shower and I had one of my constant grieving experiences. Like the shower is like a energy change state for me. And I end up sitting down in the shower and I let the water pour over me because I'm overwhelmed. And I just let it like pour over me and I usually burst into tears. And that particular time I remember vividly was actually my first experience of self-love. I was in the shower and I've been doing like TRX, man. I've been working out every day. I'm in my next level of body and I'm going for it. And I feel really strong. And I was like, I was practicing Jack Kornfield's like the concept of what is identity. Identity is not my body, or the Buddhist mentality of that. My identity is not my body. It's not my emotions. It's not my thinking. It's all of those and none of those. And I'm like, okay, well, do I love any aspect of myself? And it was like, oh, I love my body because I love what it makes me able to do. Like I'm able to use a therapy gun and rehabilitate my dad and my stepmom and teach them foam rolling and teach my 76-year-old dad how to engage a squat every time he steps up, I sits up, and like he's walking in every day and like going on mountains with the family and it's walking sticks. And I'm proud of him. And I'm sitting here, I'm like, I'm part of that. We watch Game Changers. Everybody's a fucking vegetarian now. My brother's been a vegetarian for 6 straight months since he came here. It's like, out of value system, out of all this stuff. And so I got in this moment in a shower and I burst into fucking tears. And then I thought about forgiveness and the Jack Kornfield forgiveness meditation, the Buddhist forgiveness meditation. First you forgive yourself. And then it's like for wronging me, for all these other things, for what I've done, and then forgive others who have hurt you, and then forgive those who you have hurt. And you popped into my head. And I was like, I don't want that pain anymore. And I'm like, I forgive myself for this time. I forgive him for this time. And I get out of the fucking shower and you have a text message for me. I'm like, fuck. Like, that's the point. I've had too much of that to no longer shit on. Like, I can't shit on woo-woo. I can shit on lunatic. Like, there's a difference between lunatic and woo-woo. Like, if you're just making shit up and praying to rocks and telling me that if I shove a feather in my ass, I'll become a chicken, I'm gonna tell you to fuck off. Right? But if it's synchronicity, serendipity, quantum, like this connection, like, I'm not going to deny it. Mm-hmm. It's, and that was a powerful, yeah, a huge moment of healing for me.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And for me, I just, that is the moment.
You're here.
I'm still here. I was welling up just having you guys explain that story, because that moment when that happened was for me a release. It was like, oh, the two men that I love are finally getting back in touch with each other. And it was and still is very, very meaningful. And yeah. And I understand the time apart. And for me, my experience of those months was really a practice for me to avoid the victim role, to really step into my own power, to really observe my own attachment to both of you and to situations, and to have the practice of keep coming back to myself. And I don't think I could have gotten to where I got if all of this didn't happen. So, of course.
Yeah, it sucked.
It's totally
right,
sucked.
So, like, 2020 totally and COVID sucked. Is necessary, mm-hmm. but it sucked. And I think I want to add only one thing, is that I think you paved the way for us to reconnect when you stopped avoiding me.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because it's like, for a person with anxious attachment, it's a constant state of rejection and abandonment. And I had enough of that shit. Mm-hmm. And that's the new boundary that I put down. I won't put up with avoidance anymore, right? Like, I'm not interested in an insecure attachment anymore with my partners and friends.
Yeah, or with ourselves. I mean, that's the hard part, is I started to realize, oh, I'm not only avoidant in my intimate relationships, I am avoidant with things, I'm avoidant with situations, I'm avoidant with
taxes
totally.
Yeah.
I'm like, the way that I relate to a lot of the things in my life was very avoidant. And when this started coming up to the surface consciously, it was overwhelming. It was like, shit, there I go again. I'm checked out. Like, I'm avoidant. Like, what's happening? And to keep coming back in. And Marty, you and I had a conversation where it was like every 2 seconds I was confronted with me wanting to go avoidant again.
Yeah. And I was like, awesome to see in real time. I think your self-love class is because you participate yourself.
Yeah.
Because you do the exercises mm-hmm. each time. We're helping. And I think when you stopped being avoidant, we fixed money.
Yeah.
Like, it was, my money was fine in my world. Even though nothing's perfect and we're stressed sometimes, I'm not actually stressed because I have trust there, right? And I have good credit with other people. I'm not worried about it. But you and I could not talk because you'd avoid it all the fucking time.
Yeah.
Like, there's all these simple things we couldn't do, like clean up bank accounts, like switch accounts. I want to give the kids something, like, and like teach them something. And all of a sudden, you take on an avoidance with me and all that shit goes away.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's like fucking great to do projects mm-hmm. with you. And I'm like, we could have this like fucking 20 years ago. What the fuck?
Well,
so let me catch you up. If you're 20, get secure now.
Right. Well, there's no one that's taught us that.
No.
And I think, yeah, the interesting part is that about a year and a half ago is when I started to just become aware of codependency, attachment, and all of these different styles that we of how we relate. And it became really obvious for me that my mom is codependent and our relationship is codependent, which of course makes me codependent as well. And that was just the beginning of me starting to work on our relationship. And 2020 for me was, it had so many breakdowns, you know, with my family, when I decided to stay in New Zealand. I know there was podcasts about that, but in many ways that felt like it broke the umbilical cord. You know, now that I look back, I feel energetically different, and I was feeling that throughout the year, but there was a lot of pain, a lot of letting go, a lot of me having to deal with the consequences of what happens when you make a sovereign decision. You make a decision that's best for you, and it impacts other people. And I've realized that I've been doing what's best for other people for so long, you know, trying to be liked, trying to be perfect, trying to be all these things that I'm not and that weren't serving me at all. So when I changed that pattern, which took some time, and it upset a lot of people, especially my family. And I started making these decisions to, you know, lead the life that I want, which is not in the U.S. You know, right now it's in Costa Rica. And I don't feel the need to come back to the U.S. as often. I've worked through and gone through the breakdown and the rebuild of my relationships with my family. And I can definitely say in this very moment that they're better than they've ever been. And I think when you look at codependency, not only is it about your relationship to money and objects, but your family, of course, mm-hmm. like is such a powerful reflection of your relationship style and attachment style. And I think, Megan, you and I are both avoidant in like our typical nature. So like mm-hmm. our danger is that we both avoid, we both pull away. And I think we've struggled with that when we're physically mm-hmm. distant from each other. And I think, you know, the last thing I'll say is like, what comes to me now is that I'm trying to be sovereign without avoidance mm. and like having my own needs, my own self connection, my own self, like time and self care and all of those practices, but not doing it in a way that's spiteful or resentful or yeah. not having any charge mm-hmm. around
or reactive.
That. Yeah.
yeah. Yeah. Yeah. I see you. I feel like I've seen the growth. I feel the growth. I feel the growth with both of you. And going back to having secure attachment, I mean, that is what we're creating from the inside out. I know.
You're talking about for me. Like growth is in like spiritual, emotional. I thought it was sexual. I was in a different place. Sorry, there's got to be humor
and
in this.
Marty's back. And Marty's back.
This has got to be more fun.
But it's sexual growth.
This is Marty's spice. You feel my growth. I love it. Right. I love it. I missed it. Marty, I missed it, and I missed you, and I missed this
energy. I missed it, like, too. I just so don't want to be fucking dramatic all the goddamn time. I think, Kyle, you summed that up beautifully. My family, too. I felt like Megan and I had the best experience of our family in L.A. area, and it was awesome. Like I brought mm-hmm. the Maori farm, like learning to my house and my dad's house, I guess our house, our apartment, I don't know, our room and my dad's house. But like I installed compost things and diverted all organic waste to the compost, started a worm farm, got a guys down the street to pour a foundation for a greenhouse, had them order a greenhouse, got that fucking installed. Just have a water system, the whole nine yards. Right. And they have a yard that they're expanding on. I'm like, this, we're going to regenerate all the soil in the entire yard. This is the best way to fight carbon that's already in the air. This is a carbon sequestering type of thing. And it's healthy soil and your plants will be the shit, right? And like, and we can interplant and we can have all this stuff. And it was like, boom, it was all of this stuff culminating together. Mm-hmm. It was secure. My family like complimented us as parents. We had a great time. We walked together, great. Ate together. It was amazing.
I feel like great. You and I are starting to be seen by our families in ways that we haven't.
Yeah.
And I think I feel that with you, that we're both, yeah, starting to get that in this new identity, these new people that we are, these new men that we are. And that's been a hard road to get there, but to receive it and to have our family step into like our reality, which is, hey, your health is really fucking important. Hey, let's talk about growing food, the environment, these are priorities, composting, whatever it is. Like when you step into that reality with us as our family, yeah, there's so much meaning.
Yeah. And they gain so much. Like I asked my stepmom, I'm like, how's this feel? She's like, it feels amazing. Right. Because now like in contrast, the garbage can is empty and recycling is filling up. And I'm like, now let's take on this plastic. And I'm like, all right, let's no more Ziploc yeah. bags. None of this stuff. We went out and invested in the silicone bags, the stashers that are like B Corporation, women made, like zero carbon footprint, totally like everything. They're amazing. And so like I brought innovation and I brought all this stuff and she's excited and she loves it. And like that was energetically fulfilling for me.
I see both of you making huge headway with your families. And I also see the effort that you've both put in. And so now I'm sitting here because I haven't quite crossed that chasm, that canyon that I feel like is there with my family. So I think I'm at the point where I'm like, I have to own my avoidant behavior with my family. I am actually really excited to create a bridge this year, somehow, some way with my family. And to see both of you on the other side where you're seen by your family, your contributions to their physical and mental and emotional health is huge. It's beautiful and it's inspiring. And I'm letting both of you be leaders for me to say, oh, wow, this is actually possible. So that I don't keep reverting back to this avoidant behavior of like, oh, I'm still not seen. Oh, they don't get me. Cause that doesn't feel good. I don't want to be that person.
So to be honest, I'm very excited and terrified for you at the same time, because it's like by proxy, my problem, right? And your dad fucks you up. And I'm not super excited about that, but I'm also then excited because you're the strongest I've ever seen and the most whole. And then if you are really going to take on this avoidant thing and you do it well, I'm not worried about you. But I'm worried about me and how I feel about them. And I'm done, like, where I'm also, my boundary is, like, I'm not going to be a scapegoat anymore.
No.
And like, that's one thing that I had gotten really clear in my power was, I'm crazy and I'm up for any adventure and I don't belong in any societal norm because I just can't fit. I've never been able to fit, which is my freedom. And you get to have this life and you have partners that are willing to do this chaos, but then I get to be the scapegoat. If someone in the family doesn't like it, they get to blame me. And I'm done with that.
Yeah. No, I get that. And I totally get that. And I'm glad that there's a boundary. I will say, I will even set a boundary for, when you said the word, your dad fucks you up. I'm like, oh, that feels very recipient. Like I am the victim of my father, which I'm not. And I don't
you were.
Even, I was.
Okay. So that's the part where like, it's dangerous because he can trigger the fuck out of you. And sometimes it took like 6 months to recover from that or more. And I have that history and I'm letting go of that pattern, right? That's what I'm saying to you. I let go of that pattern, but it's not without fear, right? That I'm like, I know how much power he has, right?
And how much power I had given.
Yeah, well,
so
okay.
I need to reclaim that even in language.
Great.
It's like that.
Great. But he had it, undeniably, right? And however he got it, through coercion or you giving it away, it doesn't, to me, make a difference. It scares the shit out of me.
Totally.
So like, I want you to do it your way. And that's what I'm trying to say. You're equipped.
Well, I think the power part is actually really important because I can tell you how much power my mom and my dad had over me. And, you know, it even was me making decisions that they didn't have to say anything about, you know, their influence. They had already set the rules and I was still playing by certain rules that they set who knows how long ago. And I think I gave my power away to them for a long time. And I think that's been part of the process of me taking it back. And I think, when I think about trauma, I think about disempowerment and I think about disconnection. And for me, there's been this process of re-empowering myself and then reconnecting, which is really about trust, but having boundaries, being aware of my emotions and what, you know, kind of the nonviolent communication style of thinking. People do things, they are the stimuli, but my feelings are mine.
Right.
And trying to separate those two things and not always blaming people for what, you know, happens, what your dad may make you feel, but owning your side of it, which is your feelings.
Yeah. I'm actually really excited because then I want a new experience of me. One that's not reactive, one where I can notice certain patterns, I can see and shift those in real time. That I am kind of the sovereign. You talked about sovereignty, right? Mm-hmm. That I'm my own sovereign being and that I get to decide where the boundaries are.
For those of you who don't know what sovereignty is, it's like self-governance.
Yeah. And where I was using my avoidant attachment style was because I didn't know how to set those boundaries. And that's actually the thing that I'm excited because that doesn't, you know, when I'm avoidant, then I don't get to connect with anyone and that's not fulfilling either. So it's learning where that middle ground is. How can I be sovereign? How can I love myself? Which was the really important thing. And that's why I love the work that I've been doing, the concentrated work that I've been doing over the last 5 or 6 months with these groups, because I'm in the conversation and every day I have to show up for myself and I'm fucking doing the work.
We're benefiting. We're benefiting from it. And like I said, in that confession video too, like it's all there. I'm not going to rehash it, but it benefited me. All I'm saying for me, and you, and I want you to hear it, is I'm going to be gone the entire time that they're here because I'm noise and I don't want to be noise.
I respect you.
You hear that?
Thank you.
All right, cool.
I hear it. Thank you, Marty Bhatia.
Yeah, it's important.
I'll probably be gone too. So,
it's just me.
Different ways. Yeah.
Just me.
Don't worry. Sebastian and Kira got your back.
Seriously.
Yeah.
They're getting big.
Yeah, brilliant. I also want to talk about the future. I'm really excited about doing Amory Body. Right? And for anybody who didn't see the confession video, which is like, I don't even know if it's a confession. I don't know what the fuck it was. My first Instagram live.
And it's on, yeah.
It's on our Instagram. It's on Instagram. Check it out if you can judge me and criticize me and all those things.
But it was beautiful. Caveat, it was beautiful. And I loved it. And the one piece that I have to say about it was full circle because we had talked about it before, but that was the most succinctly that you shared about your experience while I was going through my self-love journey, and then to know that it was triggering you and that you were in your quote-unquote self-loathing state.
Yeah, I'm going to host a self-loathing class for
But honestly, for me, that was the hardest thing, was to see my partner, who I love, that just was struggling. And how much I trust you is that to know where you are right now and that you're capable of getting through that. So it was tricky. Anyway, you described it very well in the video. That's all I was saying.
Thank you. But I was talking about Amory body in that video and the future. And I hacked my body and it didn't come without emotional, spiritual, mental challenges and changes. And I think so much out there is like, lift these weights, do this diet, eat this way. If like, yeah, I want to talk about what I did because of my personal journey. It doesn't apply to everybody, but I think that I want to talk about the experience of it so that people that want to reclaim love with their body, how to really go about doing that and like good practices. And then what's going to happen? Like, what do you got to manage in that process? Like falling in love with the scale, right? A lot of people will be like, oh, there's all these different rules around using a scale, but there's some pretty easy ones that are like, it's a measurement tool. And if you take away all of that drama of the, what measurement tool it is, and you understand inflammation, it can be a guide on a daily basis. And you can see yourself control your inflammation and build momentum. And then you can see yourself spike and then take action the next day and drop it, right? Like it's that kind of hacking of your perception that I want to talk about. And it's the habit hacking. And, you know, even what we do to travel, like I upgraded when we got to LA. Supply chain is fucked up all over the world. So like, you know, I'm going to LA, I'm scrambling to get the few things as minimalists that have multiple functions and all this. So we got TRX bands, rubber bands. I got a therapy gun because I needed that because I couldn't get the type of physical therapy, but my physical therapist showed me how to do it. And then I got a bike here and my partner lives on a hill, like gravel, kicks your ass. Like I've only made it up 3 times, right? And it's hot and I sweat and I'm ready for my next level of body and I'm surfing and I feel like taking advantage of where I am right now and the time I have here. And I want to share that experience with people and then, yeah, encourage people to take on loving their body with where it's at right now and starting to believe that you can hack the shit out of it because you can.
Yeah. I love that. I love seeing you lit up. Yeah, it's great. And you have so much to share there.
I want to do like a mini series too. Like, just going to be like 8 episodes, 8 topics. Like, and that's just like a subset of our Amory conversations that go out when they go out.
Yeah.
I think I kind of want to like hit them hard too so that we have maybe we drop them all at once.
Yeah.
Netflix style. Binge it. Binge it.
Yeah. And as far as love and love goes, you touched on loving your body. I think that's the format for the new self-love group is going to be focusing on how we love and relate to our bodies, our hearts. I would call that our emotional. Yeah.
Everybody does. Come up with a good idea. I combined it,
both of you. I'm like stealing from both of you.
It's okay.
I'm honored.
It's just, it's frameworks. So how
it's
we
love
our...
open source.
Thank you.
Exactly. It's more empowering that way.
Yeah, exactly.
It's open source, community driven.
We help you and support each other. So yeah, body, heart, mind, and spirit. And how we connect and relate to each one of those for ourselves. How aware are we? Do we own ourselves? Do we own our stuff there? Do we find ourselves worthy? And how do we care for that?
So I was going to ask a question about either what has been the hardest element of self-love for you or what has been the hardest part of like the body, mind, spirit. Yeah.
I'm going to answer the self-love one. Understanding identity first. And then forgiveness, and then what grieving actually is. Like, so these are really ambiguous terms, I think. And I think what happened to me is I'm very intellectual and I needed to comprehend it and really understand it. Like, I need to understand things down to the etymology of the word. Like, I need to know its origin. How is it constructed? How was it intentionally used? What does it really mean? So that when I use it, it's accurate and powerful. And so same thing happened with identity. And like I said, the Jack Kornfield practice, I read the, so 28 books now. I'm not done with 28. I'm done with 24. But I have read some four times. And like The Wise Heart. And I listen to books. So I'm listening to hours of books every day, right? And I'm listening to The Wise Heart by Jack Kornfield. And there's the no self self. So my first conundrum is, how do you love yourself if there's no self, right? Which is just the Marty Cohen of, I'm going to fuck myself for a little while. And so the first part was understanding, you know, what is identity? Identity is not body. It's not emotions. It's not mental, what you're thinking. It's not your experience. It's not your roles. It's all of those things in a moment. Mm-hmm. And then it's all not those things, because then there's the no self, which is the universal self of being connected to everyone. And I could experience, I got to the point where I could experience both. I could distinguish both, but I didn't understand how to really play with this identity shifting all the time until my spidey senses went off and I realized that I walk a lot. And when I walk, I see everything. I'm hypervigilant and I can see predators. I see just like most street people don't affect me, but I can see one that's like, this guy's got shit going on that makes him dangerous. Right. And so he's always on my radar. And so Marty the warrior popped up, right? And I was like, oh, I'm in this warrior state. Great. I have seen him. Thank you, warrior state. I don't need you anymore. I'm going to go back to a hippie walking down the street state. And mm-hmm. And I purposely accepted that identity in the moment, thanked it, mm-hmm. and then moved on from it and changed identities. And that was the huge. First, like, mm-hmm. boom, all right, I got this part.
Not suppressing it.
Not mm-hmm. Yeah, not holding on to it, like allowing it to fade immediately and like, and really understand, okay, now I'm daddy, now I'm friend, now I'm by myself. And then the grieving process was really difficult because I didn't know what grieving was. And you start doubting your interpretation if I'm just making this up to cry or if I'm actually grieving, until like some really deep ones I couldn't control my crying. That was when I was like, okay, I'm grieving. So you just have to like be bad at it for a little while. And then it finally led me to forgiveness and the Jack Kornfield's. I love Jack Kornfield's voice, number one. Like, he could read a grocery list to me and I'd be satisfied. Right? I'd be meditating on avocados, pizza, right? Like, you know, at the end of the day, like, the I keep saying at the end of the day, fuck me. When it all ends. the forgiveness meditation is a powerful Buddhist meditation. And the first thing it starts with is forgiving yourself. And that has been really the first step into self-love. And, you know, since then I've upped my challenge by like the Friday, I had a really bad day. I've had a rough month and I realized I couldn't look anyone in the eyes. So I'm like, oh, can I look myself in the eyes? So I came in this room where this mirror is and I forced myself to stare into my eyes and I burst into tears and I forced myself to stare at my tears. And then I realized I needed to forgive myself for making a mistake because that mistake cost me trust. And trust is the very thing I'm working on right now. So I have to forgive myself for making trust harder, right? This mistake made me trusting harder, right? And I had to forgive myself. And I stared at myself while I was in fucking full tears. And then a moment hit me. If this isn't me, if that's not my identity, would I punish him anymore? Mm. And the answer was no. And I was like, all right. I understand this forgiveness. Mm-hmm. And then that's really where it's like, I've been able to get my strength back to say, okay, my boundaries are valid.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to be a martyr.
Oh, yeah. God, there's so much. There's so much in there, right?
How we relate
to ourselves.
I'm
Pluto deep, baby.
It's a good rabbit hole.
I know. Like, how do I follow that?
Well, I was asking about the hardest
part. The hardest thing about self-love. Yeah. So the hardest thing is also, though, I think what the biggest gift in this whole journey has been, and it's a little bit related to what you were talking about in forgiveness, is I realized that it was so hard to heal and let go of some of the stuff from the past when I kept on seeing myself as that person from the past. So it was like this spiral that kept on going when I was reactive. Like, I would do something, I'd get upset that I did something, or I'd be reminded, or Marty, especially if you and I were talking, we have got years of history.
If you were
releasing something, you would remind me of something I did in the past. But if I still related to myself like I was that same person, I would fall down that rabbit hole again and beat myself up. But I think what I've learned now is the way that I relate to myself is like, oh yeah, that did happen. Oh yeah, that was a version of me from the past, but it's no longer me. It doesn't have to be me anymore. So it's this beautiful appreciation and separation of the past versions of me and what I did, and then who I am now and who I am becoming. And yeah.
My mantra right now is enough of that in my past. Like anytime my old shit comes up, I'm like, enough of that. Right.
Mm-hmm. And how about for you, Kyle?
Yeah. I mean, I think about self-love and like the four elements that we talked about: awareness, self-care, self-acceptance, self-worth. And the biggest one that stands out to me, I mean, self-awareness has always been, even as a kid, something that I feel like I had an ability to, probably too much so, that I was aware of too many things and attuned to people on a level that I wasn't ready to handle, which is a whole nother tangent I'll go on in future episodes. But self-worth has been the biggest struggle. And I've talked about inadequacy. I've talked about, yeah, feeling worthy. And as you change, as I've changed going from Wall Street to, you know, where I am now, you know, working for myself, feeling more like an artist, feeling more like someone that lives a very minimalist, simple life, I find value in very small acts. And I think that may sound very simple to a Buddhist monk, but for me to get from all the things that I needed to do, all the ways that I needed to be, to look as my value, all the ways that people needed to see me and the ways that I needed to talk about myself, all the external validation that was wrapped up in that, to move from that to where I am now, which is a bigger level of internal validation, but also finding like beauty in the very small acts, like being nice to people that I might have walked by, you know, years ago. Yeah, having conversations with people. Yeah, giving value in ways that I know that I am valuable, whether there's money transacted or not. I keep calling it like an act of service, you know, and I know
being Marty. A positive microbe in the
exactly. Space. Yeah. No, I see the bigger picture and I feel valuable in it. I think there's so much wrapped up in that, you know, there's money, there's capitalism, there's patriarchy, the town that I came from. But I think for me, it's been, yeah, really unraveling all of that and coming down to, in this moment, in the present moment, I feel valuable. And I feel a connection and I know that I'm creating good energy, putting that into the world, and that's enough. And it's not, there's no more, no less. And I'm not perfect. I make mistakes. I need to forgive myself. I need to be forgiven. I'm not better or worse than anybody. And I think that's kind of the internal dialogue for me that is important, because I can easily slip into judgment, superiority, and manipulation. And those are kind of the three kind of like shadow sides that I think about a lot. And I actually am trying to figure out healthy ways to express those things. So again, I'm not suppressing them and I'm trying to acknowledge them. And I think a lot of the artistry that I look at is actually going to be an expression of those things, because there's a lot of energy and power behind me getting angry or me judging things that I feel like I see, you know, and I can tell a story about why I see what I see and the experiences I've had. And, you know, I traveled the world during the pandemic. I was in New Zealand, Africa, and the US. There's not a lot of people. Costa Rica. Yeah. And there's not a lot of people that can say that they've done that. And I didn't just travel to those places. I immersed myself into the cultures. I talked to people. I learned, I asked questions, and I feel like I have some knowledge and I have some wisdom to share. And I think what really hit me over the last year is that there are so many different perspectives on everything. Like, you ask, you know, 100 people one question and you'll get 100 different answers. And there's a lot of reasons for that. And I think that's really beautiful.
Unless you think the earth is flat.
There's some things that that, yeah, there's always that. And I think that to me is kind of the practice of almost like a meditation, where I ask questions. I'm going to get answers that may be surprising or shocking or annoying or triggering. But I think it's, for me, it's like this acceptance of other people, accepting where they're at, trying to relate to them, have empathy and understanding of why do they think what they think, and not being attached to the actual content.
Mm. Yeah. I want to finish our podcast with some suggestions on what you all are reading. for everybody else. Like, I'm reading, I highly recommend Radical Acceptance by Tara Brach, The Wise Heart by Jack Kornfield, and Becoming Supernatural by Joe Dispenza as a trifecta you take on, maybe simultaneously. And I, you know, there's the Prime Buddhist one. There's a very feminine, but quality, like universal quality to Tara Brach. There's Ease and Peace with Jack Kornfield, and there's Science and Woo combined into one with Joe Dispenza. And I think they're all invaluable and can like unlock each other. Yeah. So I'd highly recommend those.
I will put them in the show notes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I second all of that. I obviously like older women. So Tara Brach is kind of my super crush. Yeah. She's good. I love that. Yeah, she's pretty awesome.
I know. I'm always surprised if you mention that you find a younger woman attractive. I was like, is that your style?
I'm trying to balance it out at this point.
Yeah. No, it's fun. This has been fantastic. I love this. I love these conversations. I feel like there's some energy that we create. And when we share things, it's super pleasurable. So thank you, gentlemen. For this moment.
Yeah, I'm not regretful of anything we shared in the past because I know how much it's helped people that have reached out to me, and then it's helped me, and those people have also supported me when I've been down. So from random Instagram followers, I've become more personally connected to patrons, to friends now, to meeting some of them when things are safe to do so. And yeah, so it's been... I don't regret, I value it all, but now it's time for some motherfucking fun.
Yeah, I'm ready. Mm-hmm. I'm ready to like level this shit up.
I'm back, motherfuckers.
I'm ready. I feel like we're at the place that we're healthy and we can start to give more in a different way.
Of service.
Of service. We can be of service. Yeah, it feels fantastic. So thank you guys. This has been great. Till the next time. Yeah. Thank you all. And actually, I want a second. We have a beautiful community. We really do. I love it. I love the community. I love the people that we've met. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you, patrons. Thank you for people that engage with us on Instagram at any level that you can. And thank you for doing the fucking work in your corner of the world. Seriously, this is it. This is not easy. And it's always good to know that we have each other.
Yeah. Thanks for spreading the amory.
Mm-hmm. All right. Till next time.
Ciao.
Thank you so much for joining us on this episode of Amory. Giving us your time and attention means so much to us, so we thank you. If you did enjoy this episode, please consider sharing it. You can share it with people you know or give us a shout out on social media. We love that. Remember, we've got access to a full online course, Transforming Jealousy at Pay What You Want. And we always love people joining our Amory community as a patron. So if you've received value from this podcast or our podcast over the last 2 years, please consider joining us. Your small donations to Amory go a long way in making us capable of continuing to produce these episodes and sharing our learnings, which we love to do, as you know. So thank you for joining us. We love you, and we hope you enjoy the rest of your day.